Hello and welcome to another episode of 10,000 Hours. I'm Grant Spanier.
And I'm Vince Cochi.
And it feels so good to be here, Vince. Thanks for being here.
It feels good to be back, Grant.
Episode 1 of 2015. Episode 41 of yes. Lifetime of the cast.
Yep, episode 41. First episode of the new year. Very exciting.
Yes, and it's apt that we were talking about a topic that was close to home.
on this new of years.
Yes, this new of years. We were talking about commitment.
Exactly. This is the time of the season where we are making commitments to ourselves. We're resolving maybe to improve ourselves, to change the way we do things. And we're starting new projects, a lot of us. It's a good time for that as well. And so you and I, in a hostful, sat down and kicked off the new year with a discussion about commitment.
Yeah, it felt good to start off this year the same way we started the podcast at this time last year, which was just you and me talking about stuff.
Just in a room together. Dare I say it's a tradition at this point?
Well, yeah, I think two is a tradition. One is a start, two is a tradition, as the old saying goes. And in the tradition of acknowledging our sponsor, I would like to give a shout out to Smile Software and specifically to a product that they make, which is PDF Pen. Most of the time we're talking about Text Expander. As Smile Software, a friend of the show, we talk about Text Expander, the thing that expands those little snippets, saves us time. In the same vein, PDF Pen helps you sign documents. It helps you sign PDFs. You can it simplifies the whole process of dealing with documents, especially things like contracts or anything you need to like give feedback on. It just like in the same way that Mac has the. You can add shortcuts, but Text Expander makes it much easier, and I prefer to use that. It just totally simplifies the process, and they've actually just brought that same software that they had for Mac to iPad and iPhone, V2. It's basically a mobile PDF editing app, and it's a product that I very much love, and it makes my life easier.
And that's what we're about. That's what this show's about. And that's cool.
Yeah, so essentially, like I said, you can sign documents, you can correct text, you can add images, you can give feedback, you can add, you know, fill in forms if it's a form you're filling out. It has support for iCloud, AirDrop, you can put password encryption, all these things. It's like super, super top-notch stuff, and I'm really happy to promote that product starting out in 2015 because it's something we really dig. And so, you know, if you're interested, go learn some more about it. It's smilesoftware.com/10khrs. That's smilesoftware.com/10khrs. So thank you to Smile Software and to PDF Pen for supporting the show and for kicking off the new year right.
Absolutely. And thank you guys for sticking with us for another season. It's going to be an exciting one. Hope you enjoy it. Episode 41, Commitment. How's that rest of that song go?
Hooka chaka.
I can't stop this feeling.
I was referencing incorrectly Wolf of Wall Street, Matthew McConaughey.
Oh.
Hooka chaka. Hooka.
He's hitting his chest. Okay, Vince, can you kick off the new year, kick off the cast with a big ol' answer to what are you working on? Or a small answer.
I'd love to. Season 2.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Season 2 of the podcast of 10,000 Hours.
I'm very excited.
What is it? What are we on? Hour 40-something? We put in a solid full-time work week on this.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
What if we had to do that? What if we had to sit here for 8 hours a day, 5 days in a row?
Working on the podcast.
Yeah. Just recording subsequent episodes.
To that end, though, I think coming up there will be a lot of work to
Ooh,
be
baby.
Done on the podcast, getting the new episodes ready for the new year, the new season. That we've got some, not to be like the guy that plugs the show while on the show, but
we've got some really, really pretty good ones.
Not to be the guy that says he isn't a thing and then is that thing immediately after, but I totally agree.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I think we can name drop a couple.
Oh, yeah.
Since they're already recorded and we had no failures on that
yes.
end. I mean, so I think up next we got Susan Bennett, a.k.a. the voice of Siri.
That was a very fun conversation.
One of the cooler moments. And it was a great conversation. It was a great episode. And just like, there's a great moment at the end of the episode where she signs us off. And it was like, I think that was a moment for us. Kind of like the Seth Godin episode was a moment for us. It was
yes,
like,
absolutely.
Oh, wow, this person is on here.
You know, I can't believe this happened. And I definitely had that feeling
yeah.
with Miss Susan Bennett. So that was really fun. Katie Featherston.
Yep. Star of Paranormal Activity.
Yes.
Paranormal.
No,
she was
God.
The spin-off.
I'm sorry,
she was involved,
Katie.
In.
Yeah, I hope you didn't hear that.
Death to Stock Photo.
Yes. A
couple of cool cats from
cool
there.
Stuff.
David and Ali. Jordan Brady, who does the Respect the Process podcast, which is one of my favorites. And I'm a huge
yeah,
fan
that
of
was
him.
That was a truly fun and yeah. At times, outrageous.
A winding road that we happily wrote down.
Yeah.
Vince was, I led us astray a few times. Apologies, but
I wouldn't trade it for anything. That was a really fun conversation.
Yeah, it was a blast. And then we've got some more stuff coming up, which we will allude to at a further date, a later date.
Look, I'm looking forward to it. I hope you guys are too. So I'll be working on that coming up. Right now, working on the New Year's resolutioning.
Ooh.
I don't know. I don't want to date the show.
But to date the show, we are just a day in
to this new
year.
Yeah. And so I've got some personal stuff that I want to work towards. I've got some professional stuff I want to work towards, some project stuff. And it's important to get off to the right start. I think we're going to revisit this concept a little bit later. But
yeah,
so that's keeping me busy right now.
Glad to hear it.
Grant, would you do me the honor of answering me? What are you working on right now?
Yeah, a lot of projects I'm excited about. I haven't been this excited, and I'm an excitable person.
Confirmed.
Yeah, I haven't been this excited in a while. I've been spending so much time writing and developing content-style stuff, a lot of screenwriting. I finished for the first draft of my screenplay for a short film called Rerun, which
I'm excited to read it.
Yeah, I would.
Can
happily,
I
have a physical copy here for you if you want to take it home with you.
I would actually love that.
And actually, I would really appreciate that because I'm getting notes. I'm getting notes from Kev Horn, who's our DP, and Woodbridge. And I would love it.
I'd be humbled to throw my hat in the ring on that.
Yeah. So that I got a Skillshare class, which when this episode goes up, it will be Monday, January 5th.
Yep.
And we're actually launching the class on Tuesday, January 6th. Which it's called Go Plus Do, and it is designed to help people start a creative project that matters. And what better time than the new year?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I got to see the trailer.
Yeah.
While you and Mr. Jake Jorgman.
Yeah. Who flew in from Denver just to record the course and work on it.
That was awesome. I got to
friend
meet
of the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Episode 35.
I think that's right. Actually.
Yeah. Hey.
And he was a great episode. And it's a great thing that you guys are doing, and it looks cool, and two very smart, motivated individuals in charge of it. So
thank you, Vince.
I have to imagine. And that's how you pronounce it, Go Plus Do? I thought it was Go Do.
Yeah, I think we'll leave that up to you. You know,
I'm genuinely curious.
It's easy. Well, okay, what I didn't want to run into, frankly, was God-O.
<That's>,
or something like
that.
That
is definitely worse.
And it was easier to lock down, like, websites. So goplus2.com and
I like it
the
better.
Twitter. Yeah.
For what it's worth, I like it better than
thank
Go-Do.
You, Vince.
Go Plus really, Do.
Yeah. So that stuff. And, man, I'm going to half announce, but something that's just starting in development, which is honestly, to me, the most exciting project I've worked on. Friend of the show, Nora Permort. Developing a bit of an episodic thing with her, which is like so fucking cool, and she is brilliant and like so amazing. Oh my, like I honestly think when I think of the most amazing people I know, she's like if not the top in the top three.
I've only had the pleasure of meeting her once, but she had a tremendous impact on me.
It was 21, I think.
It was in those mid range.
Yeah, yeah, right
those
around
low
there.
20s.
What Matters? Yeah, episode I think 21. Check it out. But What Matters? She was so good on that, and actually she sends
great.
Her love. She was like she mentioned you during our conversation.
No way.
She was like he's such a great dude, And she said, I only met him once, but he's so good. And I was like, yeah, I'm really lucky to have him as a friend and a co-host.
Abashed. I'm absolutely humbled by that. So that's awesome.
Yeah, bunch of stuff coming out, man. I'm just like hype. Got a new site coming, SDU. I'm just like so pumped.
It's going to be exciting. This is going to be a great year.
Yeah.
It's my favorite time of year.
It's the most wonderful. I got to cut that out after Christmas.
I think so. Okay. Plus, we probably owe royalties at this point.
Oh, shoot. Well, that's fine. Take a cut of those gigantic checks. Of those millions we're raking in doing this free audio podcast.
Speaking of which.
I just had to take a breath there. You know what? I've been doing a lot of yoga. I've been more controlled in my breathing.
And you... I'm starting to see the effects on you
that's
on a
so
personal
nice.
Level.
That's so nice. I'm glad to hear that. Nice. I'm glad it's showing.
And starting a new thing, starting a new regimen, and seeing that through takes a certain level of something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would you say?
Oh, absolutely. A certain level of commitment, I think, is what
you might say.
And so
that's
around.
Yeah. That's what we're going to talk about today. Being a new year, a new season, we had what I think I would describe as wildly successful in my eyes. The show went places I never thought it would. I always thought maybe it could, but with growth comes more expectations.
Yeah.
And to keep seeing your dream through, you need to commit to it.
Yeah, absolutely. We started the show the 1st of January last year, or you know, the first Monday or what? Oh, I guess we started on a Friday.
Yeah,
right?
We were doing Fridays for about 10, 15 episodes.
And without getting too far into the idea of adaptability, that's a thing that I think we'll touch on when it comes to commitment.
Absolutely.
And it's a great time to talk about it, as you said. Man, so many people talking about commitment, talking about goals, talking about lists and resolutions right now. And to me, commitment is a big tenet. You know, I think we talked a lot about finishing things, starting projects, getting to the end. To me, that's so important, is shipping it, right?
Exactly.
And committing to shipping it and holding yourself to that standard, but not to a fault. Because that is where a lot of people, I think, go astray, which is setting expectations for yourself that are unrealistic, or that if you don't meet them, you punish yourself. And I see that sort of behavior a lot. It's so self-destructive.
Absolutely.
I didn't do this, and so now I'm putting myself down, and I'm actually enabling myself. You know, a lot of people are talking about weight goals and dieting and things. That's a classic example.
It's a great example because there's a very like real statistical result that can come from it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the most classically misunderstood parameters to set for yourself, because it's so easy to fail at something like that if you set your goals incorrectly.
Yeah, and if you know, it's this thing where people want the result but don't want the work in between. And so the way of getting around that, whether or not it's conscious, is to say, I want to be X. And if we talk about getting fit, usually it's not, I want to live a healthier life, which is the ultimate goal there, I think, or it should be.
Yes.
It's, I want to look great in a bikini, or I want to look great in my Speedo.
Or I want to lose
X
pounds
and
numerical value, right?
Which is totally the wrong way to go about it.
Yep.
You know, not only should you start with small achievable things leading up to a grander goal, you should not... That's a misaligned motivation. That's something where we see you setting the wrong expectations and the wrong motivations for yourself. And if you achieve that thing, what have you really achieved? Ultimately, you have to achieve these other things that may even alter your end goal, which is something we talk about a lot, this idea of adaptability.
Absolutely. And so if we're talking about projects or career goals or personal professional goals, I think that comes into play in the fact that you need to you shouldn't say like, I want 50 clients by the end of the year, right?
Right.
You should come at your goals from a more holistic place, because... not because of any sort of like intrinsic moral value in doing so.
Yeah.
It just makes it easier to achieve. Mm-hmm. It makes it easier to commit to.
Yeah. So I think there are two extremes there. And of course, I would tend toward the golden mean, the middle ground, which is, on one hand, you have this a little bit, it's just like when we talk about creativity, you have this hyper artistic, kind of at times foofy, I don't want to say hippie-ish, but you know, that's...
No, but I think everyone gets
that
driving
end of the spectrum. And then there's the other end, which is hardline constraints.
Absolute pragmatism.
Yes.
Commerce.
Efficiency.
Yes.
And then there's the middle ground, which is to say, if you don't set goals, which can motivate you, you know, to say, oh, something like, oh, I want to make, you know, X amount of money this year. That's an okay goal. And I think that can drive some of those other things. It's just like when we work on creative projects, we give ourselves constraints. We give ourselves guardrails.
Yes.
You know, that's the important thing. And a lot of that to me is about motivating yourself with these goals and leaving space for the more artistic or the more creative and especially the more adaptive side of things, because you can't predict the future. You can only predict, you know, certain things. You can only build certain systems and habits, you know?
So a couple times, first of all, I agree 100%.
Sure.
Next, we've mentioned adapting like
yeah.
four times already, which is great because commitment is by its nature a very rigid word.
Mm-hmm.
It's a binding word and it can be a very constraining and confining word. But I think when we're talking about commitment, we think it's important to build into your goals and your aspirations ways for it to succeed without it being one single thing. There should be multiple ways for you to reach your goal. It shouldn't be like, I want to get this person as a client. It should be, I don't know exactly what I'm driving at here, but you want to be able to fail in small ways, but still have an overall success.
You know what I think it is? I think you're right. It's ultimately about becoming a certain type of person instead of achieving a certain goal. So to me, that's whatever my goal is right now, throw it out the window, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because the important thing to me is about becoming the type of person that ships it. And so we talk as many, many times about people treading water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the analogy I like to use. You're looking for some sort of direction, and the advice we give consistently is to just start moving. And it's to ship one thing and then ship another thing and then ship another thing. And that can be something as simple as committing to doing X, you know, 3 times a week or 1 time a week or anything. Ship anything and use that to become a shipping person.
Yeah, exactly. No, well said. Adapting.
Yes.
How do we avoid the classic pitfall of saying my goal is to write something 3 times a week, right? That's
yeah.
a good, I think that's a good goal.
Yeah.
And it's one that I'm kind of setting for myself.
Okay. When you say kind of.
I haven't like
okay.
had the formal conversation with myself
okay.
about it yet.
Yeah.
But let's say I go a week and I mess up and now I've broken that commitment and now the commitment
yeah.
no longer means anything to me as a personal contract, because if I break it once, I can break it any number of times, right? So
I think that's the attitude that we're trying to get away from, though.
Exactly.
Right?
So how do we do it?
Well, okay, there's like an ingrained problem with it, which is that you should hold yourself to a high standard, because I think that motivates and that keeps you accountable,
agreed.
Right?
Agreed.
But this defeatist attitude, and it, frankly, it's a little bit of a weaker play to just let yourself off the hook by beating yourself up. I think it's a lot harder to say, I missed this, and that's not okay. But giving, like, okay, in a diet example, oh, I messed up and I ate X thing and I didn't go to the gym, and, you know, or it's, I didn't go to the gym and now I'm like feeling a little bit sad and I messed up and now I'm going to have a pizza and now, you know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Where does that lead? And so I think it's about setting the stoppers and finding ways to recover. It's really about recovery and resilience. So for me, like if something's going wrong now, a great outlet is yoga, you know, and that recenters me, gets me focused. Do something small that is good. Accomplish something small. Empty the dishwasher.
Yeah.
Honestly,
no,
like, do this.
It sounds funny, but it's true. Like, if you ever, this, and it's a good strategy that I try to employ as well. If I do something that I think, man, I kind of messed up, I kind of like let myself down a little bit, I try to at least mitigate.
Yeah.
Do something that I can be a little bit proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Because it goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
It's all an attitude game.
Yeah. And within all that is keeping sight of what is important here. And I think I've made great progress in the last year of tempering my own expectations in order to be happier and ultimately do better work. Because I think for a while I was putting myself up against this wall of you need to do not stop, keep going, you know, you will fail, you're no good, right? But now it's like I've taken a step back and a lot of that comes with prioritizing and cutting out the stuff, the things, the people, whatever, that are just not good for me.
I mean, totally.
And then indulging in other things that do make me happy, you know?
For sure. And it can't be understated, like, especially at this time of year when we're all trying to better ourselves and we're taking a very critical look in the mirror, which we both agree is great.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure to throw in some goals and some, if you're the type of person that makes resolutions that are going to be fun to actually, ones that you want to do, ones that you don't want to do, ones that you actually want to do, ones that you'll enjoy seeing through to fruition.
Absolutely. And okay, so I have two things. The first is not trying to do every single thing. That's why I say prioritizing.
Absolutely.
Your resolution list, it could have these five things on it, okay? It could be, I want to get a promotion, or I want to start my own business. It might also have, I want to be healthier, and maybe there's a sub goal within there, like I want to lose X, or I want to gain X amount of muscle, or whatever. It might be, oh, I want to deepen this relationship, blah, blah, blah. I might want to cook more at home, or I might want to spend less money on whatever. Don't do all of those things at once. That's madness.
You set
yourself up to fail by having six things that if one falls off, now you've down the path of, oh, this thing's falling off too. Oh, and now your whole thing is crumbling down and you're like, fuck it, we'll do it in 2015.
Phenomenal point.
Yeah.
I think we can classify that as overcommitment.
Yeah, exactly. Don't overcommit.
Exactly.
But, you know, to me, I think there might be 10 things on that list of goals and I don't need to accomplish them all.
Exactly.
If I accomplish four of those, I'll be happy because they're big goals. And there are a couple small ones, you know?
You're 100% right. I was just looking back over last year.
Yeah.
And the things that I wanted to accomplish last year. And I did not hit all of them.
Yeah.
But I hit more than I thought I would, actually.
That's great.
Yeah, I was really happy. And last year was a good year for me, and I think you could say the same for yourself.
Absolutely, man. I made a pretty big list last year, and I only accomplished a handful of them, but it didn't matter. Like, it mattered in that I had some direction. I gave myself some direction, but I was following, as Jordan Brady would say, I was following my bliss, and I was following the opportunities, and I was taking advantage and when I saw a good opportunity. And I wasn't going to hold myself up by trying to stick to something else when, frankly, it wasn't working out or it wasn't the best use of my time. And so that's the true meaning of adaptability to me.
You hit the nail on the head. I also want to talk about, when we're talking about overcommitting, this is maybe something we talk about all the time. It's making sure we're committing to the right things.
Yeah.
Being honest with ourselves and finding out what we actually want out of the commitment.
Yeah.
So I have a personal example.
Yeah.
And so this is why I said kind of earlier about writing. I want to write more. I feel like last year I wanted to write more and have more personal creative work. And it didn't really happen.
Yeah.
But this year I want it to happen. But what I want to do first is want to write more.
Yep.
All right. So it sounds like I'm being pedantic, but what this plan involves is doing more reading, a lot more reading, doing a lot more kind of cutting some distractions out of my life, like watching less television.
Yeah.
And getting to a place where writing is fun, and so it doesn't feel like I'm working when I sit down and try to write a creative piece.
Super on point. And that's whenever I'm diving into a new thing, it's researching the hell out of it and starting to love that process. And then that feeds. So exact example with writing for me is I've been reading a bunch of feature screenplays. And then now, especially because I'm doing this episodic thing with Nora, been reading like the Breaking Bad pilot, the Mad Men pilot.
Cool.
And consuming content like that.
Yeah.
That just gets your world going, you know?
Make that fun.
Seriously.
And then it's like so much easier. You're setting yourself up for success.
Exactly. Because it's basically like you getting your workspace ready. Or like when we do these deep dive style things, which is essentially us trying to solve a problem for a client, which we've collaborated on a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
We come in with information, with inputs, and we feed that. And then it's basically
creating an environment of inspiration for yourself so that you don't sit down and look at the blank page and get intimidated. You've already got this like wealth of stuff within you, and then you just, it's, you know what it is? Again, yeah. It's about living that creative life, living that like philosophy, and you're just on. You're turning yourself on.
Totally right.
So I'm curious, I guess, do you want to talk about some of your resolutions or some of your stuff?
Yeah, for sure. I mentioned the big one, which is want to write more.
Want to write.
And so that includes reading a lot more.
Yep.
I want to start doing a couple books a month. I only read a couple books last year, which it's pretty sad, right?
Yeah, you should be reading more.
Yeah, I know.
And you deserve to be reading more. Because it's such an enjoyable thing.
I know, and it comes in waves with me. Because a few years ago, I read a bunch.
Yeah.
And this year, almost nothing. So I think that's going to be a big motivator.
Let's break it down a little bit, though. Let's go. We're now on the big grandiose style goal. Now, what is the more constrained, more focused thing? What's the next step?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I haven't really addressed it yet.
Okay.
Maybe I need to buy some books or raid your library.
Absolutely. I have a ton of books. Yeah. So I think, first step is, what do I want to read?
Yes, that's a great...
Like, what style?
Yeah, for sure.
So if you want to read some fiction, I have a few books.
I think I'm going to... Yeah, I think it's going to be mostly fiction.
Are you a Chuck Palahniuk fan? You know I am, obviously.
You know I am, too, yeah.
Okay, I have... You know, I have his most recent, Beautiful You, which is pretty good.
Would you recommend it?
I would recommend it. I probably... If you want, after this cast... Let's pop over to my library and let's look at some books and I'll gladly borrow you one.
That sounds awesome. Now, it almost sounds like we might have set this up because it's like a perfect illustration like the idea we're talking about. But no, it's actually, I'm glad we talked this through because getting like, we leveled down like four levels there.
Yeah.
I wanted to want to write more. That means I want to read more. That means I want to find stuff to read. That means, what am I going to read tomorrow?
Yeah. So there are all these little decision points that can fuck you up and throw you off. And we've talked so many times about this. For me, my like, especially when I'm busy and I'm like trying to create systems that don't slow me down, I put things out of my head and so that I don't have a decision weighing on me. So that might be saying like, I ordered this thing or I just set myself up for success with a situation. So for me with reading and writing stuff, it's finding the screenplays and I print it off and now I have it. And the act of printing it is exciting to me and I'm wasting, I'm not wasting paper. I'm putting it to good use.
Yeah.
But now I have the screenplay right in front of me. I put it on my bed. It's just like I put myself in a situation to
absolutely
do it.
Absolutely. Set yourself up. And I think something that is true of me personally is setting myself up for succeeding at that means eliminating some other distractions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an easily distracted person.
I like that. So take a step back.
Yeah.
What do you have to eliminate to create space for this?
Exactly. Because I have no problem filling my hours with things to do,
sure.
But not, I wouldn't call them all constructive. So
mm-hmm.
Less TV, for instance, is a pretty big
for
one.
For specific.
Yes.
Like for, is that a goal maybe then?
Watch less TV?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
100%.
I mean, I guess if I was going to push here, I would say, how much are you watching now? Or what is the trigger? Or how can you find a way, you know?
Yeah.
Vin, here's an example. Maybe I give you a book today. And when you get home, what you do is you set it in front of your TV. And the next time you want to watch TV, you pick up the book.
That is actually very, because it's ritualistic for me. Yeah. I get home, I like grab something to drink and I sit in front of the TV and I like relax for a while. And eventually I'll do something semi-productive, but like hours are churned up in this relaxation process where I think I would feel a lot better about them if I was spent reading and relaxing, which I don't think is impossible by any stretch of the imagination.
See, that sort of thing... It's great because it makes you feel better when you're done. Like those sorts of activities. And then finding a way to align that with goals is like next level. You know, even for me now because I'm watching Breaking Bad for the first time.
Exciting.
By studying it, I align it with professional goals and with stuff I'm interested in. And it's not a guilty pleasure. It's a pleasure.
I feel
no guilt.
That's the dream.
Yeah, man. So like, you know, just finding ways, you know, or maybe here's another way you could do it. Set an alarm for 9 p.m. every weeknight. And when that alarm goes off, read for a half hour.
I might just do it.
You know,
I might just do that.
Yeah. Those sorts of things, man, they keep you on point. And it's like, it becomes that ritual, becomes exciting. It's like,
yeah, exactly. And once there's momentum behind it, it no longer feels like something I have to do.
Yeah.
So
That's what I'm resolving to do. And the rest will follow, flow through that.
I love it.
Grant, why don't you talk about something that you're resolving to do?
Yeah.
What are you recommitting to this year?
Well, first of all, I'm committing to the podcast.
Yeah.
Which I was really proud of, like, what we did last year. I thought we did good work. I got lot of good feedback from people. I think we learned a ton about the process.
We refined it. Hard knocks, too.
Yeah, and we pushed ourselves to ship it and, like, be vulnerable and fuck up a lot and learn from it. And, you know, that's exciting.
I agree. I'm excited.
A lot of my stuff is around, you know, I've kind of taken this next step in filmmaking, in storytelling. I'm, like, so hyped on it. That's, like, what I'm putting my energy into mostly. So I have a few goals around like what I want to do. For example, I'd like to be working on a music video. I'd say I want to do at least 3 next year. And so that's a specific goal, which I wouldn't beat myself up if I only got 2. You know, it all depends on the opportunities. I can only push myself in the direction and then find ways to find opportunities. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, you know, and that's okay. But I feel confident with that. So a lot of it's around filmmaking. I'm writing. I want to develop a feature next year. And that's a shared goal I have with Woodbridge, who is my partner on High Quality. If you're not familiar, that's basically our directing duo production company, you know, sort of nebulous, but.
And Jake Woodbridge, episode 33.
Yeah, I think
so. Nice.
Yeah. Awesome dude, director, storyteller. He's fantastic. So developing a feature is a big thing for me.
That is a big thing.
Yeah. I want to develop this project with Nora, which is, I feel so strongly about it. Essentially, here's a visual bit that that the podcast listener won't get. But if I could describe it, these are some notes I have from my last meeting with her, and it's a Venn diagram. And one of the circles is labeled N, one is labeled G. My end is labeled film, hers is story. And they're pretty equally overlapped.
There's a lot of the central piece, the interference, is pretty large.
It's equal, I would say, to the two other parts.
Yeah.
And so it's a beautiful relationship because she has the story, which I'm committed to bringing to life and to writing with her. But she sort of needs to, I'm giving her the tools and giving her the guardrails to get that first version of that out. And then I can adapt that into my thing and give my expertise, the visual and the storytelling, the film expertise. So that's a thing, essentially our plan of attack. We have it broken down into smaller scale things, but it's an episodic thing. To me, that starts with, we have a title. We already have a title. Now we need a log line, a 1 or 2 sentence description. And that's what she's working on right now. And then from there, we go into basically a series Bible, which is, what are our characters? What are their relationships? What are their physical attributes? What's their career? What are their relationships to each other? Now, what is the setting? Where does this, you know?
Yeah.
So we break it down. And then my plan of attack is to produce some, because we have the capabilities, let's produce a trailer and use that as a proof of concept. And then maybe shop that around to try and get some funding. You know, it's like, so I want that to be, I think we can develop that trailer and that project within 6 months. And from maybe spend the next 6 months trying to get funding or trying to get it moving, you know?
That is great. And you've illustrated just how helpful and constructive it can be to break it down. Because that is I would say that's a big goal.
Yeah, it's a huge goal.
It's fairly massive. And to a lot of people, myself included, would be daunting without starting to morselize it. And that brings me to, I think, a point I want to make, which is, even though this is a great time of year to be inspired to make goals for yourself, the goal making, changing, resolving, and setting should be constant.
Yeah.
Throughout. You should always be having these honest conversations with yourself about what you want to accomplish, how to get there, when to do it.
Yeah. So measurable goals, basically, but that thing could derail. And
absolutely.
And I'm okay with that because, you know, you put a lot of irons in the fire and that's how I go. You
exactly.
Know?
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Don't put all the E's in the B.
To really colloquialize it. but it's true. If you really put all of your goodwill and your positive mental energy on achieving this one thing, there are so many things that are outside of our control. Even if you're pretty good and committed to it, it might still go wrong, and you can't allow that to create some sort of mental, emotional collapse.
Yeah.
It's just not a good plan. It's not a good way to succeed, and it could be more hurtful than helpful.
Man, okay, so two practical ways to set yourself up for success there is, I think of like a 12-step program in Alcoholics Anonymous when I think of creative projects and like accomplishing stuff.
Uh-huh, okay.
And something they talk about in that setting is, and I know this from an episode of Breaking Bad, that might have been in Narcotics Anonymous, so you know. But they talk about, what are you guys upset about this week? What pissed you off? What made you mad? And like, what got you down? And the reason for doing that is to identify potential triggers for relapse, triggers for you using a substance to do X. Mm-hmm. And we use a lot of different substances or actions in that way. That could be food, that could be TV, that could be any number of things that are destructive, not necessarily destructive behaviors, but if we feel like they are, then they are.
Right, 'cause
there's guilt associated with them that, you know. And so I think identifying how you recover is a really good way to prevent yourself from relapsing or from going downhill too fast. 'Cause you know, this, I'm so excited about this project, and if it derailed, it would kind of hurt. But you know what I would do? I would go to yoga, or I would do X, or, yeah, you know, and also by having multiple things I'm working on, I kind of, I diversify my portfolio in terms of, not everything needs to succeed for me to be happy.
And that is at the crux of the conversation, is if success can't, success should bring you happiness, but it can't, you can't have your happiness depend on success.
Uh-huh. So the commitment here is not to the destination, it is to the journey. A commitment to yourself, a commitment to finding whatever happiness or whatever productivity or whatever within that, and not committing to an end result. Committing to end results, but with the knowledge that they may be different than you expected.
Exactly. Commitment without rigidity. Commitment with adaptability, mm-hmm, flexibility.
But just enough rigidity to get you moving and to keep you focused.
Because you have to really, you have to commit to yourself. You, yeah, have to commit to what you actually want.
Yeah. And that, you know, I had a lot of people asking me, what are your resolutions? What are you goal? And I was just like, well, I guess I have a few things, but these are all goals I've had that I've been working on, and I'm proud of myself for the way I'm handling my health and for, you know, all of these things. And so I'm not making any big changes. Like, just keep going.
Exactly.
And that's how I've been talking for probably like 6 months now, right? It's just like, oh, I'm not like freaking out about the next thing. I'm just moving and putting in my time.
I think I've seen that definitely reflected.
Hell yeah, man.
Nice.
Come here.
Hey, that was a good one.
That was a pretty good high five.
Nice.
It was the first high five on the show, I think.
We did it episode 36.
Okay, first. I don't buy that. First high five of 2015, at least.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
We started out on a good note. Hey, Grant, you wanna talk about something a little less on topic?
Yes. So when you say less on topic, would you say is it anti-topic, or is it just more off topic?
I would say closer to off topic.
Okay, all right.
If I had to pick.
The first OTT of the year.
Yeah, and we're talking about new things.
We are.
In fact, we're talking about our favorite new thing.
Yeah.
It's a new year. We maybe have met some people or found some more physical things over the last few months that we're excited to use and to incorporate in our lives this next year.
You're right. You're so right.
And then maybe it's fun. Maybe it's more like important. Maybe, yeah, it's less important. But what's your favorite new thing, Grant?
I'm gonna go with a half answer and then a full answer.
Okay, all right.
I alluded to it, as I said, Breaking Bad has been a hugely inspiring thing for me. I'm like, it was a level of commitment that I avoided for a while because it's, everyone talks about it, puts it on this pedestal, it's amazing, it's the best. Oh, you've got
to
watch it.
You know what? This is ringing very true to me.
And I couldn't emotionally commit to that because I get so obsessive and so like into things.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see them through, and that's a lot of hours and a lot of commitment.
6 seasons.
I think 5.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, yeah.
I've only seen the first 6 episodes.
That's been my favorite new thing. And then reading the pilot and some subsequent episodes, it's a better, you know, pronunciation, has really gotten me excited. But what I actually am super excited about is I got a GoPro for Christmas.
That's so cool.
Yeah, which is cool because there's so many things. You know, it's a tool to enable some more of this filmmaking stuff. Just got a lot of ideas for how to use it. Been talking about maybe either me or Woodbridge next time we're on set, just like wearing it the whole time and having like a behind the scenes.
I would video. Watch a live feed of of Woodbridge.
Yeah. Oh my God, that guy. That's my favorite new thing. I'm very excited about that. Shout out to Ma and Pa for that super generous and very thoughtful gift.
That is, yeah, that's super.
Isn't
cool.
That sweet?
Don't you? I love things that I can like use every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you probably won't use your GoPro.
Like a toothbrush.
But like, yeah, I slippers.
Yeah.
Actually, I did get slippers, though.
Oh.
But that's not my favorite new thing. But it is awesome because my landlord's very stingy with the heat. Oh, so
son of a...
my extremities get cold easily. Oh. So the slippers are on point.
You could use some woolly underwear as well.
No, well, maybe.
I don't know.
I haven't tried it out yet. Sometimes I wear two pairs of pajama pants.
good strat.
Good noise.
So yeah, it was like a mix between a few like reactions.
Yeah.
It had like a bit of like a sexual undertone.
Yeah, it was like a oh.
Oh, kind of like
Yeah.
But then also it was a moment of clarity, like, oh.
There's a lot baked
so
into that.
So much
noise.
Loaded into that noise. We should have like a soundboard where we can play back noises. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to count that as, that'll be track one.
Just on repeat.
Sort of ambiguously sexual moment of clarity. Yeah.
Ooh.
There's a resolution.
Well described.
So besides that noise, what's your favorite thing?
Besides
that noise.
I got some new speakers, which I'm excited about. I'm going to fill the apartment with joyful noise. I'm going to listen to some more tracks. I'm going to try to find some more music. Like, you always play great tracks.
Hey, thank you.
I always grift them from you.
Oh, it's shamelessly. A good move. No, it's not grifting. It's music should be shared.
Absolutely. So I'm excited to get some use out of that. I have a kind of a cheesy queasy kind of saccharine answer too. We got to welcome a new member of the Coachee family this holiday. My new niece. We got the first pictures of her.
6 pounds, 4 ounces?
I actually don't know. I didn't know.
Okay. Well, if you really loved her.
We didn't get to see her in person yet, unfortunately. But she's real cute. She looks like, you know the movie Gremlins? Do you know the movie Gremlins?
Yes, familiar.
You know, before they turn into Gremlins, they're Mogwais?
Yes.
The little fuzzy ones?
Oh, the little fuzzy ones.
Like Gizmo?
Like Gizmo.
She looks like just like Gizmo.
Oh my gosh.
But no, she's not covered in
kind of like a Furby.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Furby-ish.
She's all eyes and ears. Very cute, very cute. Oh. So that's a new thing. And I'm excited
what
to
a
have
great
that
answer.
Be part of
what a sentimental answer.
Life. Yeah, it was.
You reached into my chest and you just started tugging at my heartstrings. You started plucking a little tune on my heartstrings.
Playing a ditty. Was that supposed to be Deliverance?
No. We would have to pay more licensing fees again, royalties. Oh, you did it. Oh, can we cut that out? We'll cut that out.
That one's coming out of my paycheck.
Yeah.
all right. So that's me. New stuff this year. Exciting.
Ooh, lovely. Maybe I'd love to see a cameo of you in one of my GoPro films.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Maybe I'll GoPro it for the podcast where it will be what you will see is my microphone, maybe my computer screen, a drink of coffee, and then a lot of Vince's face.
Vince's extreme close-up.
Yeah, just an hour-long film. With a background cinematic score, just a music bed. Sometimes drowning out the podcast.
Wow. Well, I'm excited for those new things. I'm excited for your new things, too.
Thank you. I'm excited for your new things.
Hey, man.
Look at this. This is great. What a great relationship. And, you know, I really am committing to using the GoPro.
That's cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you get it, you get a thing, that's cool. You got to use it.
Yes.
If you don't use it...
You lose it.
No, you, no, that's, come on.
Wait.
You know, the actual, it, if you don't use it, the opportunity is missed, as they say.
Yes, that old, easy to remember mnemonic.
Yes.
Should we last thoughts this?
Let's last thoughts it. I'm committing to last thoughting it.
That's
an interesting phrase. Yeah, Vinny, can you? I want you to just tell me what you're thinking. Give me some last thoughts about the cast. Maybe even maybe you could talk about how people could support us, or we could leave ourselves with that, because normally we ask the guest, of course. Yeah. What, how can people support you? And if you leave people with one thought on this topic, what would it be? So can I turn that question to you?
Yeah. Let's talk about support.
Yeah.
Can we?
Yes.
All right. Cool. Well, just get excited about the new season.
Yeah.
Because we're very excited. Share our excitement and check out one of the first few episodes.
Yes.
It's going to be, we have like very, very cool people.
And if you dig it, right? I mean, so first of all, the website, 10khrs.co. I don't know if you're listening to this on iTunes, through the podcast app, through Stitcher, or if you're on the website, all of those options work. And if you do like it, share it with somebody else who it might be beneficial for. Subscribe both on iTunes, which you can do right through the podcast app. Just search 10,000 hours. Or, subscribe to the email newsletter. We send out the new episode every Monday.
Yep.
Gives a little bit of context in the last couple episodes if you missed them.
It's cool to have. It's cool to do.
An easy way to be reminded.
And you know what? In the vein of resolutions, I've resolved to be a little more active socially
in the community.
About the show. Yes.
Good.
And so I would encourage everyone who wants to interact with us on social media.
Yep.
Twitter. Find us on Twitter.
Yes,
find us on Facebook.
Especially Twitter, I think.
Yeah.
You know, we're mostly just broadcasting, like posting the episodes on Facebook.
Yeah, it's just
but
yeah,
Twitter, we got a conversation going. We got people excited about the show and talking to each other.
And I'd really like to be more active in that.
Oh,
and I've let good. You know that.
You Greg, did. You but, did let me know.
So,
and we're taking steps, measurable steps.
We are.
To encourage that.
So please, enjoy the show, share it,
yeah,
and get in touch with us.
Absolutely.
Now, some last thoughts on commitment.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Could leave people with only one.
A single thing. If you could...
but it could be a single thought that expands into a grander thought, you know?
Yes. I think we've spoken of it frequently today, but I can't stress enough how important it is that you can't allow yourself to build in these trapdoors into your
land
commitment.
Lines, yeah.
Because it's something I catch myself doing, and it's something I catch everyone else in my life doing, because it's an easy human thing to do.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, if this happens, that signifies a failure, and I've become derailed, and now my commitment is over. That can't exist anywhere in your plan, because it is the surefire way to not achieve what you're wanting to achieve. So if I say like, oh, like if I like can't find a book to read, for instance,
yeah,
and now I'm like, oh, I'll take this week off. I've trapdoored myself, and now I've set a precedent for failure, and maybe I can climb out of that trapdoor,
mm-hmm,
but if I had never fallen in the first place, things would just be so much easier.
Yeah.
Make it easy for yourself. Don't make it hard for yourself.
That's so good.
Commitments, they don't have to be like these punishing experiences. They don't have to be this test of wills. You're not trying to prove anything to anyone, right? You're not a weak person for making it easier,
yeah,
for you to achieve the things you want to achieve. And so do that. Pave the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't hold yourself to an unrealistic standard, which oftentimes is actually someone else's expectations, parents' expectations, societal expectations. You got to do you, and you are the only one ultimately who is in control of your own path and your own happiness. Of course, Vince, that starts with self-awareness. Figuring out what you want will help you figure out where you should be putting your energy and where you should be going. And I want to leave us with two things that were told to me that have had a huge impact on my daily life. These are things that I think about daily, probably. And the first piece of advice was from a mentor of mine, and I've shared this with you many times, Vince. When I was starting less and going out on my own and doing my own thing, he sent me an email that said, in quotation marks, I think it's Sally Hogshead, maybe, who had coined the phrase. I'm not sure, but it might have been someone else. Anyways, jump and a net will appear. And it's this idea that you can talk about the thing, you can talk about why you shouldn't do it, why it won't work, why X, X, X. In the end, you need to just jump and you will find your way. A net will appear, because that is the nature of jumping. You know, of course, there are things that maybe can fail, but that is the net, you know, the bottom of wherever you end up. Really, it's right. So it's getting used to being afraid of things and jumping anyway. So that's the first piece of advice. So when you're up against something that scares you and a goal that scares you, anything.
And your goal should scare you a little bit,
right? A little
right?
bit, yeah.
Because it signifies growth.
Right, exactly. So don't undermine yourself. Don't be scared of success. That's ultimately what a lot of people are afraid of. So jump and a net will appear. Trust that it will appear, and it will. And then the other thing was a piece of advice from Seth Godin, episode 31, who I was lucky enough to spend some time with in New York. And when our project sort of flubbed, I was like so broken up, like literally in tears. And I've told this story on the podcast before, but he told me that it might not work, and this might not work. And that is how you should approach every project, with the mentality that this might not work. And you have to be comfortable with that. It's very much in the vein of jumping and out will appear. This might not work, and that's okay. And we have to pick ourselves up when the things don't work, and we adapt and we move on. And so I would say approach your goals and approach your commitments with that in mind, that there's a good chance it might not work, and that's okay.
It has to be okay.
What matters is what you do next and what you got from it. So
I think that sentiment was echoed on one of our semi-recent topics called Fail Proof.
Fail Proof with Jake Jordan, episode 35. Yes,
absolutely. A great episode and a great conversation. Might not
work. Yes, absolutely.
And it might not work, but if you've really approached it correctly, then it still has worked in some respect.
Exactly. Something we didn't talk about was finding these ways to overlap and complement our goals.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
being able to extract the seed of or the serum of goodness, even if it does fail. So I actually think Fail Proof episode 35 would be a good episode to kind of kick off compliment. This year.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that was very well said by others and well articulated by you. And I think I'm going to keep that in mind going forward.
Hell yeah, man. I'm excited for 2015. I'm excited for 10,000 hours. Putting in some more time this year, and we got some fun stuff coming up, man.
Absolutely. And I couldn't ask for a better partner along the ride.
Hey, likewise.
Hey, all right.
We just shook hands. That was not as audible as the high five, but it was a little bit more. It was a moment.
Solidarity, yes. For sure. And speaking of which, you want to co-sign off?
Yeah, can we co-sign off with the very first one of the year?
Ship it.